one did you do last week?
Pergamus. Okay. You haven't gotten to the thyroid. Okay. That's what I thought. All right. Well, good morning. So last week, Kenny, he's been doing the seven churches of Asia, and I thought last week's message, personally, I came home and I was talking to some people saying, I thought last week's message was amazing. So if you guys didn't get it, I'm not here to just, excuse me, it was awesome. It was taking a church that had blessing and problems in it both, and taking it today, and the way he, you know, I don't know if you know, the guy's amazing at telling history and sharing the historical and how much it relates to what we're going through today. It was just amazing. So if you missed last week, and if you're listening today, go get on our website and download it and listen to it. But what Kenny was sharing last week was about the church had, it was the whole entire city was basically pagan influence. And is that not America today? And what a parallel that was, that, and the warning to the church was, don't let the world get into the church. Folks, it's too late. Church, the world's in the church. Have you seen it? I mean, I am not going to go, because it's warm out right now, I could probably get away with a lot of things, but when it's warm outside, you know, even the way the church dresses, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we live, these are things that should mark us different from the world. You know, I'm not here to preach legalism and ultra holiness over here where you can't wear, you know, makeup, because I actually think you should. It makes you look better. It's not bad at all. I think you should wear, I don't care if you wear jeans. I mean, we're not going to tell you what to wear and what to look like. But I'm telling you, are you modest? Are you living a life that's presenting yourself as, you know, you see, this is a true story, and no one will know the people because it wasn't this church. But I had an elder of a church come to me just 2 weeks ago and say, you know, I'm on a decision committee right now, and I have to decide about this person. They start telling me all the qualifications. I'm like, wow, sounds like you're awesome woman of God, great. And then he goes, well, then I pulled up their Facebook profile, and they got pictures of cleavage everywhere. I was like, okay, you know what? You could tell an older gentleman. And I said, well, that's something that I don't know. I don't have an answer for, you know, but you need to pray about it. But here's the problem. There are people today that back in the day that would never have been seen. Today, that's everywhere. Now, I am not going to preach legalism, but are we looking different? Are we acting? Or is the world infiltrating every part of us? Do we talk the same way they do? Do our lives represent Christ? And so I thought last week's message was wonderful, but addition to that, I don't love, you know, I've never believed in New Year's resolutions because that's me empowering myself to do something in my own strength to do it. And you know what? Ultimately, my daughter was telling me, hey, Dad, I really want to get some more workout stuff, because she's been really into working out for months and months and months. And then she goes, well, wait till after January. That's when everybody will get rid of the stuff they just bought for the New Year's resolutions. See, I know it's pessimism, but it's probably true. So, you know, the thing is our diet plans, and by the way, we're going to have the best diet plan for you starting next Sunday. We'll start now. Every year we encourage you, if you feel led. Now, I tell you, I fully embrace the idea that some churches believe it's an all-church fast. Next Sunday, after we release our vision for what we believe God's speaking to us for 2022, we're going to ask for those that would like to join us. And the fast will be for three things. Number one is to examine your heart, to prepare yourself for the next season that you're going into in your own life. And number two is to seek the Lord on how you can be a part of that vision. Is to get clarity. You know, we fast for reasons. We don't fast just because someone says, "Let's fast," or "Let's try to lose some weight." Let's fast for. It's like being baptized. If you don't make an acceptance and acknowledgement of repentance in Jesus Christ, it's just a warm bath. You know, fasting is just missing out on food if you're not going to do something with that. And so a fast is meant to declare, to get clarity, and to sanctify, to put yourself in a place of seeking the Lord for something. And so it's seeking the Lord for you, number one, for purpose, number two, and number three, we're going to ask you to join us, that the church, we would be agreement with everyone here at the church that we're going to see God do some things here at this church this year for our community and for around us. So that's what the fast is for. It's for you to join with us to. And when we talk about fasting, we'll talk more next week. A fast could be fasting two meals. It could be fasting one meal. It could be fasting television, and that's probably not a bad thing anymore. You know, I heard someone tell me the other day, and I think it's a true statement, that the virus is not nearly as bad if you don't watch TV. Just throwing it out there. I mean, because, you know, the virus is going around now. It's obviously getting weaker. There are a lot of things, and there's still people very sick. We're not going to diminish that. I'm saying, but isn't it amazing how when you focus on what the news tells you, you begin to get into that. The enemy loves to bring fear with that. But when you focus on what the Lord's doing, and you press, well, imagine 1 week of just pressing the Lord and turning off that thing for a week. It's amazing how much more peace you have. Again, it doesn't matter what you choose. Some of the kids like to like fast video games, and that for some of you that might cause like shaking and stuff for kids. And we used to say fast cell phones, but that's impossible now. There's no way in the world someone could do an hour without their phones. And but either way, as we encourage you to join us next week. We're going to have a time here. We're going to share our heart, our vision. We're also going to give you some updates on the building fund. The numbers are a little bit backed up because inflation has hit. But either way, we'll give you the update on our mortgage, all the stuff that we do. But we're going to do it on Sunday morning so you all be a part of it and hear our heart. So that's the promo for next week. I just do it now. But we are going to start a fast next week. And I just want to encourage you, if you want to be a part of it, we're inviting you to jump in and say, I want to fast. I want to do, you know, and some of you go all out and just do water only. That's the most extreme fast, and if you can do that one, that's an awesome one. I've only done that a couple times. Or back in the day, a prophet friend of mine, 25 years ago, he came here and he goes, I fast whatever. I said, I'm going to fast with you. So I was on day, 20 something, and he goes, anything you can get through a straw. I found out that guy could put stuff in a blender that you had no idea that you could start sucking. It's amazing. And now they got protein shakes. You can pretty much eat through a straw now. But the problem with my stomach is not the fact that it's the fact that I want something solid. And it's good for you to have those cravings and let those things be disciplined in your life. So that's next week. But this week, where we're going to keep going is I really appreciated Kenny's heart last week about getting us separated from the world. But one of the things that I want to do is I want to take this one step further, and I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, but I do believe that when we start out the new year, we have some people think of it as a refreshing. So if we separate ourselves from the world, there's one thing that we need to also do, is we need to sanctify our own life in a way that we guard our hearts. Last week, Kenny was talking so much about our hearts letting the impurities of the world come. We talk about the doctrine of Balaam and all, and you know, you talk about, we see that in the church today. And whether you want to call it prophecy for hire or whatever you want to call it, or you want to call it, there's a lot of different reasons for it. There's a lot of things being done in the name of the gospel that's not being done right. And let's guard our hearts that we're not allowing the seductiveness of the world to get a hold of our lives. But the next thing we need to guard our heart from is unforgiveness and bitterness. You know, every once in a while, I don't know why I don't do this more, but this week as I was praying, I felt like, you know, the next thing we need to do is guard ourselves that we don't allow unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, or those things, hurt feelings, to fester at all. If we do, it will not only destroy you, but it'll destroy the relationships you have with people around you. If you don't forgive the person, if I don't forgive Chuck as a friend, I'm going to have a hard time forgiving my next friend who has the same issue and guess what? Most of the problem is I'm the common denominator. So I carry that pain or that anger or that bitterness or unforgiveness or judgment to the next friend, and I take it on them like it's them too. The whole world's skewed. And yet in my own heart, I'm the one carrying the junk. So today, let's do it. So in the Lord's Prayer, I won't read it now. It says, we always love that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And then it tells us, oh, how are we going to see the kingdom of God advance? It gives you a great secret. Do this, and forgive others as I have forgiven you. Let's turn to Matthew 18, and we're going to spend most of our day there. We're going to spend all of our day there. And let's read. This is a passage you all know pretty well, but starting, I think, at verse 21. Let me get back there. Yes. And let's just read this. We'll read this for the next 14 verses to the end of the chapter. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, How often shall I forgive, or how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Maybe seven times? I think that's extreme. I think it should be like one or two, don't you think? I mean, seven seemed pretty high. Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but I until 70 times seven. Huh, that's a lot more. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not done not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children, all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord said, and the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosened him and forgave him of that debt. And the same servant went out and found another one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I'll pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told the Lord of all that was done. The Lord, after he had called them, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you of all this debt because you desired me. Should now you have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And the Lord was wroth, angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay what was due unto him. And so likewise shall your heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your hearts forgive not every one his brother that trespasses. Now, I don't like that last verse. I think, honestly, that we look at the Lord's Prayer, confirms it. It says you will be forgiven on the basis of what you have been forgiven, right? So this is not, unfortunately, an isolated occurrence in the Bible. So the story goes like this. You got a king who owes a guy, and according to many, many translations, up to 40 lifetimes worth of debt. I have no idea, but he must have bought a lot of nice stuff, and his credit cards were maxed, and this guy was out of it, and he didn't have any wisdom. And next thing you know, he's got lifetimes worth of debt that he would never repay, but he said, have patience with me, I'll pay it all. He won't, but he'll. But this king offered him mercy and compassion. And of course, that's the picture of our God who has done for all of us. Every one of us in this room, let's just get down to it. Every one of you in this room deserve hell. If you don't believe that, you can't be saved. Every one of us, for the way that we were born into it and the way we lived. And you know what? I'm going to tell you a quick, you know what? Time out. Don't even forget. Last week I told Kenny I was going to show you a story. A couple weeks ago, I told you, and I don't know why the Lord has brought it to my heart right now, and then I'm going to share another story too, back to back. It'd be great. This one, a couple weeks ago, I told you, when I got back, I flew home and was told I need to go and see a friend of mine that was at the hospital. And so the story went, I visited him at the hospital. I was able to share the gospel with him, and I told you the doctor, remember the story a little bit? Okay, if you were here, if you weren't here, just smile and nod, say, yeah, whatever, keep talking. But anyways, I was able to share the gospel. It was really great, had a wonderful opportunity to really, it was good. But when I left, because while I was there, he told me he belonged to a certain church. Well, I knew the pastor pretty well. So I called him up on his phone, right when I left the parking lot, I said, listen, man, I've known you for a while. I was a friend of him before he even started his church. And I said, you know, I got a guy here, and his name's such and such, and he said, you're his pastor. He goes, huh, I've seen him a couple times. I said, well, guess what? Tag, you're his pastor. And he's like, why are you calling me? I said, because I'm not his pastor, but he's a friend of mine, and I'll keep praying for him, and I'll keep calling him. He's a friend, but will you pursue him? He said, sure. And while I was on the phone, by the way, a neat story was, this man just found out that morning that his little brother died. And it was on his way to his mother's to tell him, Mom, they found, you know. And he goes, would you pray? It's on the phone. It's just a really blessing. So I got a phone call last week. And when I got this phone call, it was my brother who also knows this guy. He said, Adam, you're never going to believe what just happened. I was talking to Andy. And Andy said the guy, the pastor called him and started bringing him scripture. And this goes with a sermon too, by the way. He said he started reading this verse over and over again about forgiving and about living his life in the right way for the Lord. He goes, so in that hospital bed, remember I told you he had 97% oxygen help. 3% of his lungs were working. He said, on that morning, I got up and I just couldn't, I had no peace. And I remember what you were saying to me in the past, whatever. I started praying. I said, Lord, I got to release all this pain from all the people that's hurt me in my life. And he goes, over the next 30 minutes to an hour, he began to pray and release. And he said, at that point, I said, Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to change my life. And I can't make this up. I promise you, I'm not even exaggerating 1 minute. Within 4 hours, his oxygen level went to 90% the other way. Now, I'm going to get to the fruit of forgiveness in a minute, but that's a story right there from last week, right there at St. Francis Hospital in Greenwood, Indiana, that God responds to your heart of forgiveness. You carry that burden with you. You carry that poison. It will kill you from the inside. And that man was being destroyed. And the other story I'll tell you is this. And I got a phone call this week from actually a wedding I did a year ago. And it was a guy down. And anyways, he called me and says, Adam, can you help me out? I said, sure. And his wife left him. I said, okay, let me talk with you. He's so when I'm on the phone with this guy, just to give you a heads up, when we say and the F word flies out of his mouth kind of like the and the's out of your mouths, okay? So he's very colorful, we'll say the least. So he's just talking, and these things are just flying out of his mouth. But you could tell he's very, very hurt. And so I listen to him. And after about an hour of me just kind of sharing, I said, okay, hey, so did you call me because you know me from the contracting world, or can I be a pastor for a minute? He said, well, yeah. He goes, you know, I used to be a youth pastor. I said, I could tell for sure. I mean, you're winning me over with the gospel. And I said, let me tell you something, Matt. The gospel, because he said, you know, we all believe, because I know, it's all about the afterlife. Because I've come to realize that all religions are about the afterlife and getting yourself. And I said, so I'm going to say something to you. You got to listen to me. Okay, you can't out-talk me, because he can. I said, I didn't get saved again, so I don't have to go to hell. That's the blessing of being saved. I got saved so I could meet Jesus. You know what? That phone got real silent, and he didn't even try to cut me off. And I said, I wanted to meet Jesus. Because when I met Jesus, I met a man who loved me unconditionally. I met a man who forgave me of all my stuff. And I met a man who would save me from the most important thing, and not just hell. He saved me from Adam. And I said, your biggest problem right now is you need to be saved from yourself. Because Jesus didn't come just to save you from hell. He came to save you from yourself, because yourself, and that is what's going to destroy you if we live in our old nature. Our old nature will cause us to want to do things we shouldn't do. It'll cause us to want to say things we shouldn't say. It'll cause us to react the way we shouldn't react. It'll cause us to live out a lifestyle that is contrary to what God has for us. And as I begin to go and share this with him, it was amazing. I mean, I've known this man for a long time. And he finally stopped me at the end. He goes, okay, you got me. He said, I've been in the church, my grandpa's a pastor, and I've done this thing my whole life, and I've never heard anyone share with me Jesus that way. Folks, you know what? When God gives you chances to talk to people, you have one shot and let the Holy Spirit. I don't think I've ever rehearsed that conversation with any person in the last 35 years of me, or 30 years of being in ministry of some sort. I don't think I've ever shared it quite like that, but God wanted him to hear those words. I'm telling you, the gospel needs to be presented, and it's our lifestyle that needs to live it out in our words. He will fill your mouth with the words at the right time. But that's it. So forgiveness and all these things is about Jesus forgiving us of what we deserve. We don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve grace. We deserve hell. Because our heart was created to do evil. And that's the gospel that we don't want to preach today. Because when we tell somebody they need a savior, that means they have to recognize in their own life there is sin in their life. And we need Jesus now more than ever in this world. We need the gospel to be presented in such a way that people know that it's not just fire insurance so you don't go to hell one day. Hell is a real place, and real people are going to go there. And yes, it ought to grieve us, but what should drive us more is the agony that some people are living in right now needs Jesus today, not just Jesus one day. They need the gospel of love and mercy and peace. Imagine the gospel where the peace of Jesus comes and fills their heart like a hospital room, and their oxygen level increases because Jesus showed up. Jesus wants to heal their marriages. And you know what? Next week, I'm driving down there, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to, because I know that I've known both these two for a long time. I'm going to drive down there. I'm going to knock on that woman's door and say, "What are you doing?" You know, since you guys will never know who these people are because they're, well, you never know. I said, "This is your fifth husband. Why? Why walk from this one?" I didn't know that when I married him, by the way. Just on a side note, just a real quick note. Five, do you want to go continue the pattern? And I'm going to believe that Jesus, y'all agree with me? I'm going to believe that Jesus is going to meet me down in Evansville, Indiana this week. And I'm going to see hopefully not only a couple get back together, but a couple that I've known for a long time in a world of the construction world over there that I get to be a part of, that I've been able to sow my life in them in such a way that I'm praying that the gospel will finally be received, and not only will they get saved, but sold their marriage. See, that's what we're here for. We're here to seek and save the lost. And I'm, okay, that's just a I just got preaching. Okay, back where I was. Anyone know where my notes were? Matthew 18. So after this king, I don't know where I was at. After this king forgave this wicked servant of all that stuff, like we've been forgiven, how do we have the audacity to not forgive our brother or sister who's done such little in comparison? So they looked at you the wrong way. So they ignored your text message. I'm looking, and it kept saying unread the whole time. Thankfully, my phone doesn't do that, so I know if you're ignoring me, you just ignore me. I don't know it. Or maybe you just haven't, whatever. I'm not sure. But maybe they did hurt you. Maybe there's real pain there. Maybe you've been abused. Sat in my office for years. It's painful to watch someone. And when my wife and I get to lead them through forgiveness, and I remember leading a young lady who was raped through forgiveness. And I heard the agony of that pain being released. They walked out of that room a changed person because they forgave their offender. Now that offender, by the way, was not forgiven by God yet, because they need to do that before. But that person there released their burden from themselves to the Lord. So now the Lord can get it. We'll get to that in a minute. See, forgiveness isn't just saying, you know, I always say this right now. I have my wallet. If I left my wallet in the front and somebody grabbed, I don't know how much cash in there, but they grabbed all my cash out there and I found who it was, I'll forgive you. I'm still out my money that you took from me, unless you be nice and pay it back, which that's not forgiveness, by the way. That's repayment. I'm not going to leave my wallet around you again, probably. I'm still going to use wisdom. But forgiveness means I've released the debt. I'm not going to hold on to it no more. Because if I hold on to it, I'm going to replay it in my mind, and I'm going to get angrier and angrier. And then once unforgiveness happens and the hurt, the initial hurt and the initial sting, you guys have been hurt, you get rejected, it causes pain, it produces anger. And if you live in anger long enough, you've been in this church long enough, you realize that Adam is not always great at answering text messages. You can get angry at me. And I apologize from the depth of my heart. I just wish I was better at, you know, juggling more things at times. Ricardo, don't look at me like that. But we got to forgive even that. We got to give grace to people. Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children. When we don't extend mercy to people, we cut off mercy from us. When we don't give love and mercy to people for what they're doing, then we are cutting off the very God nature in us that shows us mercy and love. And then if you don't deal with the anger enough, it turns into what Hebrews calls a root of bitterness. And the word bitterness is actually a word that it's really funny. If you had my glasses right now, you'd appreciate this because I have so many scratches and stuff on this. Everything I see is through the lens of scratches. I mean, Chuck's got like two pieces right here because like, it's like cut right in the middle. But it's like putting on tainted glasses. Everything you look at in life has now been tainted by the view of bitterness. You go to a new relationship and you're like, oh, the same as everybody else. Maybe that's not them. Just throwing it out there. Maybe they're not the only, they have problems too, probably. I'm sure everybody does. But they're not the source of your pain. You are. You're the source of it. They did what they did. You can't put rewind on and, you know, push the remote and put rewind and replay it and redo it and relive it. It happened. It's already done. All you can do now is have a blood-bought white washer come in there and clean it all again inside of you. And forgive that person from your heart and release them of the pain they caused you so you can live free before God. I want to challenge every one of you as you are in this room today that you do not have room for unforgiveness, hurt, resentment, bitterness, offense, because if you choose to be offended, I like that word so much, offense, is because the word fence is right in there. What does a fence do? It puts a fence between you and people around you, and it's permanent until you tear it down. They can't. You know, let me just give you some marriage advice. My wife's not here, so I can say whatever I want today. I love it. Let's see, you know what? I would say it's 11:20. By 11:21, she'll have 14 text messages to herself. We're not going to go there. I'm too smart. In marriage, I'll tell you this. When you don't forgive your wife or husband from the past things they've done from 5 and 10 and 20 years ago, or what about that ex-person in your life that you had love relationship with, whether it's dating or what, that was carried into this? That fence that you got is so high right now, you're wanting them to jump that fence and do a miracle just to make you feel happy. The problem is, as soon as they try to jump that fence, what happens? It gets higher. They're never going to be able to jump the fence that you put up. Mark my words. The fence that you put up around yourself to make them prove their love to you will never be leaped. It's too big. It's too deep. It's too painful. You got to tear it down. You got to tear it down, not them. My wife can jump through every hoops to make me happy, and she'll never do it until I tear down my walls first. Amen? Real quiet in here. Okay, amen. So this is a good message. This is a New Year's celebration. We're wanting to. I did wear, by the way, the maize and blue to prove that I'm a Michigan fan, whether they get blown out of a stadium or not. I just want you to know I'm still a fan. Okay, change topic. Now back to seriousness. Forgiveness is not a choice. It's a command. It's your choice, yes, but an act of obedience is what God's looking for this morning. Why do we forgive? Number one is because we obey God and we do it. Because he said, forgive. Number two is because we want personal freedom in our own lives. I want to be free from the pain others have caused me. I'm tired of you controlling my life. Come on. I'm tired. Next time that memory runs through your mind, I dare you to get as angry and ticked off as possible and say, I'm tired of you ruling my life. You are letting him do it. You're the one letting them ruin your life. They did their thing. They made their mistake. They are horrible people for all I know. It doesn't matter if they're great people. They're ruining your life because you're letting them. Amen? You're the one playing the videotape over in your mind. You're the one redoing it and, you know, I should have said this. You know, if I would have said this, you know what Whoo, feel it? It gets going. Man, if I was there again, no. I go back and live that pain over and over. And every time that pain is deeper and deeper. And the walls around you and others get wider and wider. You wonder why you feel isolated. It's not because people don't love you. Come on, this is I'm preaching the wrong church, but I'm here because you all feel loved here. If you feel alone and isolated, my challenge is look inside here. What walls are you putting around that you're not allowing to be loved? What pain have you experienced with church folks, from relationships that you've put around yourself that you're not allowing them to even get close enough to love you anyways? Amen? Okay, this is going over really well. Actually, it's fine. I've been doing this, as I said, I will say next year you're going to hear, this is my 25th year of being here, and I've learned not to look at people's faces because I know Holy Spirit works in so many ways in our lives that I don't need it. It's one thing I do appreciate. Your response is not motivating me to preach better or worse. If worse is what you're going to get, I'm sorry. But number one is you do it because of obedience. Number two is you do it to free yourself. Stop being the victim and choose to forgive. Be the bigger person. Be the Christian. Be Christ-like and release them from the burden they put on you and so you don't live under it anymore. Well, my mom and dad, okay, forgive them. I got two kids. My daughter's 18 today. My son's 21. Trust me, you know, the older they get, the more I realize how horrible a parent I am. I just want you to know real quick. They tell you all the time. The older one does more than the younger one. She still loves me right now. But you know, so it's my son. I'm joking. But it is funny, though. The older they get and the more adult they get, the more those judgments they come up grow. And if it comes out, it comes out in weird ways once in a while. But you know what? It's great. It's afterwards. There's nothing greater than hugging and loving and saying, forgive me, son. I'm sorry. I never meant to make you feel that way. Parents, I don't care if you did or didn't do it. Guess what? What they perceived was reality to them. It's true. Do it for yourself, because when you get free from that pain, you're going to feel 100% lighter. You're going to walk out of this room feeling, thank you, Jesus, I'm free. I'm free. I don't have to deal with that, what they did to me. They're never going to control me ever again in my life. They have no power over me because Jesus took it today from me. Amen? The number three reason is go to Mark chapter 9 real quick, or 11, excuse me. Mark 11. And here you guys, some of you are like, oh boy, here we go again. Back to the mountain scripture. It is, but it's not what you think. Many of you know the scripture. Speak to the mountain, say thou be removed. Whatever you say, you'll have, right? We love those scriptures. And I'm not even going to read them because you know them so well. But it does say this, that when you speak to a mountain, say thou be thou removed and cast to sea, it shall be done. You'll have whatever you ask. Verse 24, therefore, when you pray, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you'll have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. So one of the greatest passages that we love to preach at this church, and hopefully many churches around the world, that when you have the power of life and death resting in the words that you speak, and God's giving you the power to the greatest power you have with that tongue also includes forgiveness. If you are going to walk and see mountain-moving power, yes, it's your words, and yes, you believe, and yes, you receive. But then why would Jesus, at the very end of that, say, by the way, don't forget to live a life of forgiveness? I also believe we forgive because we're commanded to. We forgive because it frees us. But I also believe we forgive because it brings breakthrough in your life. You will have the power of breakthrough when you have a clean and pure heart before God and others. You will walk out of life, and when you speak to mountains, you're going to see a mountain the way it really is. Sometimes you're speaking of shadows because you built so much in your mind. Have a pure heart before God. Be a person who forgives quickly. Now, Jesus says forgive from your heart. Years ago, we had the first time, actually, Dr. Malone, my spiritual mentor, over in Dallas, Texas, a dear friend and spiritual father to me. They were here the very first time in 2000, Beth's not here to tell me, eight, something like that. And they shared a story about a lady who was born in New York City. And she is a passionate New Yorker. And when Millie was standing here and she shared the story about forgiveness, I'll never forget it. She said, you know, after 9/11, I saw what those evil terrorists did to our country. And I was like, I want to kill. I want to go out there. I want to suit up. I want to go kill somebody. I'm like, I'm going to join the military. Let's go. But that's not what Jesus had for her. So the Lord said, you know what? Why are you carrying around this for something they did there? Why are you letting your life be destroyed by that? And so she's like, what do you mean? And so the Lord said, you need to forgive. I'll take care of them. No, the government, the United States military, well, they'll take care of what they need to. But you need to forgive so your heart isn't walking around with some weird anger and bitterness. So this lady said, okay, I forgave them, whatever. About a year later, she went out to New York City and was there at Ground Zero. And when she got there, she said she was filled with just rage and wrath and anger. And she said, I just couldn't understand why I had these feelings. And the Lord spoke to her and said, listen, when you forgave when you were in Texas, it was easy because it didn't have any, you didn't have any relationship to it. But now that you're here and you're remembering it, now you got to do it from the heart. The heart is where you get freedom. You can give a lot of head knowledge and say, oh, I forgive Chuck for not calling me back last week, which is probably the other way around, but we won't go there. I'll forgive so-and-so. I'll forgive Adam for not calling me back last week. Let's be more realistic, okay? I'm giving you guys a chance to forgive me today. Afterwards, the altar will be full of me. who's going to the altar? Me. But then all of a sudden, next Tuesday, he picks up. Nah, I don't want to call him. He won't call me back anyways. What happened there? You forgave from your head. You verbally said something, but your heart wasn't behind it. We got to make sure when we forgive, we go down and we release not only what was done, but the pain it caused you too. Don't carry the pain anymore. Some of you are carrying around trauma that happened 20 years ago or pain, and Jesus took it for you at the cross, so you don't have to carry it anymore. It's over with. But we don't know it because we still live it out. Just like sin in your life, you're free of sin. Just like sickness, the Bible says he healed you of all disease, right? So just like this, forgiveness acts the same way. Jesus became that for you so you don't have to live in that trauma or pain any longer. You don't have to be bitter again any one day of your life. I don't care what your ex did to you or didn't do to you or did what your friends do to you or what the past church did to you. I do care, by the way. That's mean. But you know what I do care about? You letting it go. You letting it go so you can join into a new relationship, a new friendship, a new perspective, and those walls are down, and next thing you know, you achieve what intimacy ought to be like. We're all adults here. Intimacy is more than sex. Intimacy is two people becoming one on every aspect and every level. Heart, spirit, soul, body, we come together, one flesh, one heart, and we become one. And that doesn't happen when these walls are up there. It's there physically and legally, but why wouldn't you want all of it? Let the walls down. So, two ways to forgive, and I got to quit. I'm going a little bit longer today. Number one, when we forgive, it starts with just you. One of the biggest mistakes when you start reading, because, oh, by the way, real quick, I do want to go. Matthew 18, let's jump back, though, to verse 15. This is the process, and I'm not going to read it all right now. This is the process of what you do when there's a dispute, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. So that's going to be step two. Step one is forgiveness is always you before God. If I can forgive my wife, she's not here because she was really mean to me last week or whatever. I can say whatever I want now. If I forgive her, but it's something I held on to, and the problem is resolved, That's where you leave it. See, a lot of times we get these great moments with God. We're like, oh, I had a phone call. 5-10 years later, I forget what it was. It was back when I was in college. And someone called me up one day and said, Brother Adam, I got to call you, man. I just want you to know I was going to encounter God. I want to know I forgive you for what you did to me back in college. I go, what did I do? I'm sorry. Who is this? And what did I do? True story. I was at Taylor, not because I went to two colleges. Taylor? Yeah, okay, yeah. I remember you. Don't have a clue what you're talking about. You know what that did to me? I got off the phone replaying in my mind what I did. Don't be that person. Don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Don't be the one that calls somebody and reminds them of what they did 5 years ago. Go before God and release them and let the Lord take care of them. Okay? Sometimes we like to just almost say, hey, because sometimes I will tell you this, I just want to forgive you for what you said last week. You were such a jerk. And I love you now, but you were a real jerk back then. I mean, if I told you what a jerk you really were last week, see, some of you, when you do that, it's just kind of just letting them know, hey, you were wrong, but I forgave you because I'm the bigger person. Don't be that person either. You see what I'm saying? And I've had those calls too, by the way, just to let you know. Those are my fun ones. I got a phone going, wow, that was fun. Hope they really forgave me, because I don't think they did. I think they had an encounter, but it was just, let's just words. See, I think when you get before God, it's between you and him and your heart. Unless you forgive your brother from the heart, it's your heart and God's heart getting free of the pain and getting free of the memories and getting free of that. And therefore, when that memory comes back that something happened, the pain associated will be gone. Amen? That's the goal. We don't forget. God doesn't forget. But he does forgive. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. God can't forget. That'd be against his nature. But he forgives. And says, don't go back there. I'm not going. You don't either. And that's the same thing we ought to do with ourselves and others. The only time you go to a brother, if there is a current situation, if you have aught with a brother, or another scripture says, if the brother has aught with you, go to them to win them over. You understand that? That means there is a current climate problem. That means when you walk in the room, you can feel the temperature rising. You know there's tension in the room. You know that there is a current situation that is causing you to not have relationship with the person that's there. That is when you go to them and say, forgive me. Or, hey, last week when we had the situation, I want you to know, I'd like for you to forgive me for what I've said to you, and I would like to try to work this out. If you can't resolve it, it says, then go bring another person. Why? A witness to make sure that you weren't coming in there going, or you didn't do this, just throwing that. This, hey, last week we had a problem, and I realized things got heated, and I do forgive you for being a jerk. Amen. Did you hear that? I forgave him. The third party will look at you, and I hope, and go, well, that was cool. Did you try to make him feel bad? There's no forgiveness there. A third party brings accountability. And if the accountability now, if the person that is in sin, or because another one, that is also a confrontation of sin. You do the same way, by the way. If you confront them and they don't repent, then you bring in another accountability. Because the third, that is what this is talking about here. And that is when there is a current sinful issue going on, or there's unforgiveness, there's resentment in a relationship that is causing it. That is when you need to go work it out. A lot of things that we deal with in our life is past. And you're holding on to it. And those people are long gone in your life. Maybe they're still here. And you're making them pay every day for it. They don't need to know. They don't need to know what they did 5 years ago. Okay? Please just listen to me. I've been down this path a few times in my life. I made the mistake myself in 2008 after I left Dr. Malone's office in Texas. I had this amazing encounter with God. And I forgave my mother for something really stupid. I've told the story before. It was something that I made a judgment about that she, if you know my mother, she did nothing wrong, I'm sure. And it really wasn't, but a judgment I made affected a lot of decisions in my life. When I saw it, I'm like, how stupid was I back then? You know, it really was. So I thought it'd be funny to say, hey, mom, haha, you're never going to believe what that. My mom had nightmares for weeks. Because even though it was something she didn't do, it was a perception I had as a kid, it made her feel terrible that her son had to go through that because of her. And it wasn't because of you. It was because I have an enemy that I listened to a lie for years with. Don't be that person. Let's let those people live their life, and you need to get before God and walk that out. Amen? All right, I got to close up because I'm really getting excited. I want to see people free this year and stop carrying baggage that you've been carrying on. And you know, it's like putting on another duffel bag on there of someone else's problems. Release them this morning. So if you would, I don't know if you want to, the worship team can come on up and do what we're doing here. I'd like to lead you, though, this morning more in some forgiveness, if you don't mind. And then I would like to challenge every one of you in this room. This is an open invite. That if you feel like some of the things in your life that's happened to you or that you have been a part of, remember, there are choices that you make that cause problems too. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is who? Yourself. Because I'm the one that can be the biggest idiot sometimes and say, oh, Lord, forgive me for being an idiot. And he goes, I did. I do every day. No. It's an ongoing request from what I hear. No. It's about freedom. It's about freedom. It's hard to love people when you got walls up. It's hard to feel loved when you got walls up. It's hard to reciprocate love when there's walls up. Let's tear these walls down. And my invite to you is this, and I've got a person here. Beth has been doing this ministry since 2008, and actually the person who introduced us to Dr. Malone was Kim. And Kim and Beth are starting to tag team together this year, and we are going to do a better job announcing and promoting inner healing, deliverance, whatever you want to call it. I don't like the terms, but that's what a lot of people use it as. But it's basically how to walk and get free. And we lead you through forgiveness, judgments you've made towards people based on a judgment you made, now you're living it out. Curses that you've spoken, or because remember, I don't believe that curses ought to affect your life because Jesus became and destroyed the curse of the cross. So if you're living under curses because you're not appropriating the cross in your life, every area that we walk you through is something Jesus already took care of at the cross. And we carry it on because of a lack of knowledge, lack of revelation, or just a lack of disobedience. So I also encourage you, if you're interested in taking that next step in your life, you want to sit across from somebody and say, listen, I'm interested in getting my life free. I've been holding on to pain. Somebody in my past did something. Again, my wife and I have sat with people who have been sexually abused physically. We sat with the dad and the daughter both in a horrible situation. Why? Because these people want to be free. There's no limitations on freedom. You can be free from something you've done, as horrible as it might be. I've literally sat in this room and had someone tell me, I can't tell you what I did, but when I was in such and such state, I got so angry that I made this mistake and I had to stop because of legal reasons. But you know what? I've had a chance to sit across from somebody who's murdered somebody. You know what? And by the way, that person went back and made it right in that state, just on a side note. Jesus will heal you of all the stuff that you've done or has been done to you, but you got to want it. You got to make a choice. And so I'm going to lead you in forgiveness now because it's not. But if you want to take that next step and say, listen, I do think I've got walls up. I think I've got some walls up around my heart that I'm not letting. And I mean, my husband tries so hard. My wife tries so hard. Or my friends, I want them down. I'm tired of living alone, isolated. Tired of the pain and tired of the rewinding in my mind. I want to be free. That's you. I'll pray for you this morning. Yes, I'll be up here. We'll pray for you this morning. We're prayer team, come on up here. We'll pray. We believe that God can do it in 1 second. Okay? But if you want to go and say, listen, I want to do that, but you want to follow up, call the office. Give them your name. The camera, Ben, one of them will get with you and say, let's get together and even do a follow-up. But if that's you today that is wanting to be free, I'm going to ask you as we worship, just come on up here, and someone from this word prayer team will pray with you and walk you through forgiveness for yourself or for others and lead you. And this is how we ask for, this is the prayer of forgiveness. Ready? I'm going to lead you to it. It says, Father, I forgive Adam from my heart for all that he's done to me. I lay nothing at his charge. I release him for all the pain. Everything that I have went through in my life, I choose to release him of that. He's not liable now. I'm taking it off of him, I'm getting it out of me, and I'm laying it upon Jesus, who's already forgiven me and him for everything, and I release it to you, and you have mercy and justice how you want on Adam, so I can live free. That's forgiveness. It's getting it off of you and putting it onto Jesus for let him get justice, him to extend mercy. Because maybe the person you're unforgiving of, maybe the person that is caused you the pain is living in so much. And maybe, I've seen it happen, when you forgive, it also releases a burden, because it also releases the burden of Jesus to be the one that can extend mercy and justice as he chooses, not you. Amen? That's how you forgive. I forgive them from my heart for everything they did, with no exceptions, with no limitations. It's done. And I lay it at the cross of Jesus for him to free me and them. Amen? Let's stand and we'll close this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning in Jesus' name that as their hearts are stirring, I know every one of us in this room have been warned to guard your heart. Guard your heart. We make judgments so flippantly. We assume so much. We get offended quickly. And we forgive so slowly. Forgive us this morning, Lord. We've held on to this stuff as if it's a merit badge of all the junk that's been done to me. But today we lay it at your feet. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to move upon our hearts today at this moment. Those areas that we've been replaying, those past pains and wounds and hurts, even before you were married, maybe there's an event there. Even while you were a kid, maybe there's an event there with a friend. Maybe it's a parent. Today, I want to seal this once and for all. I'm not doing it in my head. I'm doing it in my heart. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then I'm going to let you go. The rest of you that want to keep going, I'll lead you to the altar in just a second. Excuse me. If the Holy Spirit is putting somebody on your heart right now, I'm going to ask for you. You don't have to. When it comes to saying their name, please, please, don't yell it out. They might be here. They might be standing next to you. They might be standing across from you, in front of you. But between you and the Lord right now, I'm going to ask you to clear your heart. If the Lord's putting a name on your heart, I'm going to lead you through one prayer. The rest will be done here at the altar. So anybody that wants to take part in this right now, as if the Lord's bringing a name to your heart, I want you to be led in this right now. So whisper it, say it out loud somehow. If this is you and you want to walk through this with me today, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Heavenly Father, I forgive, and you put the person's name right there, from my heart, for all they've done to me. Stop, and I want you to do this between you and the Lord. I want you to release every thought, every feeling. I want you to get rid of it. If the thought comes, it's a lie you believe, get rid of it. Or it's something real that happened, release it today. Give it to Jesus now. What you're doing now is you're speaking out all those things you're putting on the cross. Get it, get rid of it. Don't ever relive this again. Today marks a day where it's gone. It's done. I forgive them for the pain they caused me, for hurting me, for lying, for betraying me, I forgive them for the words they spoke over me. I give them for the lies, the deception. I forgive them for all this pain now. I choose to forgive this person right now from my heart. Now repeat this after me, after you've done all that. I forgive them from my heart because you, Jesus, have forgiven me so amazingly. I release them, and I ask for you to show mercy or justice how you choose. I forgive them. Amen. Now, if that's you this morning, close the door and don't ever open that door ever again. Ever. If a thought comes, rebuke it. It's not yours. It's the devil. Prayer team, if you'd come up here, and that same prayer that I led you in, if anyone else wants to come up and continue, maybe there's some things in your heart that you want to release. And you want, it's not bad. Come on up. Let someone pray with you this morning. Let them agree with you. The altar team's open. Thank you. The altars are open. We got prayer people. Don't carry this into 2022. Let's get rid of it. What they did is done. Jesus healed us, set us free. Have an amazing weekend. Be blessed. Amen.
In the morning, in the evening, at the end of all days, and I will sing, and I will shout, you are worthy of praise. In the morning.